So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 29. Samoham sarva om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Samoham sarvabhuteshu na me dveshosti na priyah. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone, and no one is his special friend, then why does he take a special interest in the devotees who are always engaged in his transcendental service? But this is not discrimination. It is natural. Any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity, in whatever form, is his son. And so he provides everyone with a generous supply of the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless whether it falls on rock or land or water. But for his devotees, he gives special attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness, and therefore they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna. The very phrase Krishna consciousness suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in him. The Lord says here distinctly, mayi te. They are in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This also explains the words, ye yatamang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajamyaham. Whoever surrenders unto me proportionately, I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotee are conscious. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. And the gold is glorified, and at the same time, the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Living entities in a pure state are called devotees. The Supreme Lord becomes the devotee of his devotees. If a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there is no personalist philosophy. In the impersonal philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the Supreme and the living entity. But in the personalist philosophy, there is. The example is often given that the Lord is like a desire tree. And whatever one wants from this desire tree, the Lord supplies. But here, the example is more complete. The Lord is here stated to be partial to the devotees. This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotees. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the law of karma. It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and his devotees function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It is part of the spiritual world, where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate. Oma jnana timanandasham gananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So what is the purport of the purport? The purport of this purport is that devotional service is not of this world. As soon as you engage in devotional service, you are no longer situated in this material world. Did you know that? Did you know that by engaging in devotional service, you are not situated in Berlin? You're not situated in Germany? You're not situated in Europe? You're not situated on the planet Earth? Did you know that? Don't put the hand in the mouth. That's muchi. Yeah. By engaging in devotional service, as Prabhupada points out, devotional service is part of the spiritual world. As soon as you engage in devotional service, you are actually situated in the spiritual world. There's one famous lecture entitled Deathlessness Begins at Initiation. As soon as you become initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, you achieve your eternal spiritual identity. You may not know what your rasa is yet, and that's all right. That will gradually manifest. But your spiritual, you have become situated in your eternal spiritual identity in a seedling form. As soon as you take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. So this process is very potent. Did not analyze what you're doing through the eyes of the Berliners and the Germans and the Americans and the whatevers. You have to understand what you're doing based on the revealed knowledge given by Srila Prabhupada. That's how you have to understand what you're doing. Whether you're a brahmachari living in a temple, you're a householder, you're a student going to college, whatever you're doing, if you're engaged in devotional service under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then you are not living in this material world, although it may appear that you are. Because you're distributing books, or you're attending classes, you're dealing with the external world. But yet, if one is acting under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then you are in the transcendental existence. In fact, how is that described? Eternity, bliss and knowledge predominate in that spiritual existence. So we just had an incredible Ratha Yatra festival, but you know what? If you're fully absorbed in the devotional service, then you're living in that Ratha Yatra festival at every minute. It never stops. Not that you have to wait another year, you know, or 6 months for another festival to get enlivened about being in a festival. You can live in a festival, the most ecstatic, enlivening festival at every second of your existence. You see? This is called Krishna consciousness. Wherever you may be. Wherever you're practicing, in the temple, living at home, going to college, whatever you're doing, if you're fully surrendering yourself to Krishna under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then you will be living in the spiritual existence. Getting the special mercy of Krishna. Sometimes people think, well, I have found a fault in Krishna. He says he's, you know, samoham sarvabhuteshu, I'm equal to everyone, but yet he favors his devotees. So they say, aha, I found a contradiction. I found a flaw in the Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna says that he's equal to everyone, but yet he's partial to his devotees. So how is that? If you are challenged, what will we say? Yes?
It's a glorification. It's not a fault, it's a glorification.
It's a glorification, it's not a fault.
Well, the actual answer is that because Krishna gives everyone an equal opportunity to be a devotee, he is equal to everyone. It's not that certain people are allowed to be devotees and certain people are not allowed to be devotees. Everyone has the equal opportunity to be a devotee, so Krishna is equal to everyone. And he reciprocates with you according to your degree of surrender, but everybody is allowed to fully surrender. You see? Sometimes we think, well, you know, there's all these great Maharatis in ISKCON, you know, they were at the right place at the right time. And they fully surrendered and they got special extra mercy, you know, like Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know. I think, wow, if I'd just been in his position, right there with Prabhupada, organizing the first Harinams, now what can I do, you know? Prabhupada isn't physically present and, you know, everything's already organized. I'm just a rank and file brahmachari, you know. What can I do to really get that inside nectar like Tamal Krishna Maharaj God or, you know, or Vishnu Jan Maharaj God? Or how can I, you know, oh, what can I do, you know? But that's a material conception. The fact is that each and every devotee has the opportunity to get the unlimited mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. It doesn't depend on any external thing. Well, Prabhupada's not physically here, or the movement's very big right now, and I'm just a rank and file member. No. It simply depends on your own Krishna consciousness. Ye yatamang prabhadyante tangstapaivabhacamyaham. If you become, there is nothing holding you back from achieving the unlimited mercy. There is nothing holding you back from becoming the dearmost, intimate follower of Srila Prabhupada. Nothing holding you back from that. You may say, but how could I be the dearmost? Well, actually, Krishna says there is no one more dear to me than the one who preaches. He may say, but there's so many preachers. How he says there's no one more dear to me than that one who preaches my glories. But you say, well, there's so many preachers, so how one preacher could be more dear than anyone else? You ever wondered how that could be possible? There is no one more dear to me than the one who preaches, but there's so many preachers. So how a preacher could be the most dear when there's so many preachers? You ever thought about that? Well, the answer is that Krishna is unlimited in his ability to reciprocate. How many queens did he have in Dwarka? How many queens did he have? 16,108, you see. And how intimately did he associate with each queen? Each queen thought, oh my God, those other queens must be eating their hearts out because Krishna comes to my palace every night and he doesn't go to their palace. Every queen thought that I am the most dear queen. And those poor other queens, well, what can be done? Too bad. Every queen thought she is getting Krishna exclusively to herself. Actually, every queen did. So in the same way that Krishna can exclusively give himself to each and every queen in Dwarka, he can exclusively, totally give himself to every single devotee who fully takes up this preaching move, you see. Krishna becomes your exclusive property when you agree to become the exclusive property of Krishna, you see. Did you know that? Krishna can become exclusively yours. You own him totally, completely. He's your personal property, you see. If you are willing to fully give yourself to Krishna with no reservations, you see, then Krishna, he will fully give himself to you. As if you own all of him and no one else can touch him. That's the rasa you can actually have with Krishna. if you're willing to give yourself that completely to Him. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and He shall remain so even if He handles me roughly by His embrace or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me. If you can take up that spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, then Krishna will become your personal property. Your personal property. So this science that we are practicing is absolutely amazing. There is no science, there is no psychology, there is no art, there is no system. There is nothing like this Krishna consciousness anywhere in this world. Even you go all the way to Brahma Loka, you see. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti Narjuna Mamupechitakonteya Punar Janmana Vijayate. From that highest planet, way up there, Brahma Loka, all the way down to Patala Loka, you see. Every place here in this jagat, this material existence, is a hellhole. You have that word in German. It's an American saying, a hellhole. I mean, it's really bad. The place is a real hellhole. You can just imagine. It's horrible. Every place is a hellhole, actually, in this material world. Every single place is a hellhole. But, Krishna says, those who take shelter of me, punar janma na vijyate. Punar again, janma birth, na, not vijyate, taking. You see? He never takes birth again. Punar janma na vijyate. So if you want to get out of this hellhole called the material existence, then all you have to do is chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram,
Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Join the happy throng, the Hare Krishna chanters. Actually, the first time I ever heard about the Hare Krishna people was back in 1968. And I had some friends in Denver who had lived, one friend in Denver who had lived in New York, the Lower East Side of New York. She said all of these people called the Hare Krishna dancers. She used to see them dancing around the Lower East Side of Manhattan. So she called them the Hare Krishna dancers. That was my first time I heard someone who'd ever talk about having seen a devotee. I knew them as the Hare Krishna dancers. So, this is a dancing movement, you see. The temple I joined, the address was 2906 Dancy Street. So it was a very dancy temple. We were always dancing. In the spiritual world, you know that all the speech is song and all the walking is dancing. Just like in this material world, they have what is called a musical. It's a drama, but instead of them talking and walking, they are dancing and singing, you see. So the original musical, you've seen a musical when you were a karmi? Yes. Many musicals do there. The sound, when I was a boy, I saw one, The Sound of Music, some singing nun, you see. She was always singing, dancing around, singing. So why are people so attracted to these musicals where all the speech is song and all the walking is dancing? Because actually everyone originally was in that spiritual world where all the speech was song and all the walking was dancing. And when they see those musicals, they feel something wonderful, you see, because that was their original identity. They have long forgotten it, but yet they feel something very special when they see a musical. They're very popular on Broadway. They have live musicals. There's so many, you know, cinema musicals. They're very popular. Very popular. Because that is the original nature, singing and dancing. Karmis are envious. Why are you people always singing and dancing? Why aren't you not miserable like me? Now, what's the difficulty? Come, you sing and dance with us. We'll feed you. We'll give you a place to lay down at night. You can sing and dance with us. What is the difficulty? Why are you envious? You come and join us. Oh, no, I cannot. Yes. What a foolish thing it is. We're inviting the whole world. Prabhupada said, everyone come to our temple, we'll feed the whole world. He said, Radharani is the goddess of fortune. We can feed the whole world, Prabhupada said. It's a fact. Radha Srimati Radharani is the goddess of fortune. And we can actually feed the whole world, prasadam, if they're willing to come and take. So this is the most glorious movement. And we are the most fortunate people in the entire existence. That somehow or other, we have gotten this opportunity to participate in Lord Chaitanya's movement. There is no extent of our good fortune. Srila Prabhupada is the greatest spiritual master in the history of the world. He's not an ordinary Gaudiya sannyasi. You see, he is truly Jagadguru, the spiritual master of the universe. There's no one else on the level of Srila Prabhupada. No one. When many years ago, when I was traveling with Vishnujan Maharaj, we used to have what was known as the road show. It was very famous in those days. We had a musical that we put on the college campuses. They would pay $1,000. We would set it up in their auditorium. It was the story of a boy, a hippie, who became a devotee. It was a musical with song and dance. There was even one scene where the hippie boy had a vision of Vrindavan, and everybody was singing and dancing. Glad you've come our way into Vrindavan. Sadness can't remain here in Vrindavan, where all the trees, the fruits and the flowers sing of Krishna's name, where every gentle breeze and aroma tells of Krishna's fame. So in this way, it's a wonderful musical. And he ended up becoming a devotee. So we had a very nice song that we did in the middle of this rock opera. It was called Jagad Guru. And actually, we performed this rock opera for Prabhupada. He very much appreciated it. In a big hall in Pittsburgh called the Syria Mosque. Prabhupada, we set up his Vyasasan in the center aisle, middle of all the chairs. And Prabhupada sat there and he applauded after each number. He very much appreciated. And there was one song called Jagad Guru. It's so nice. The pure devotee comes, and then the evil has to end. Jagad Guru, spiritual master of the universe, Jagat Guru, Prabhupada. But I really like that line, the pure devotee comes, and then the evil has to end. You see? This is the great power of Srila Prabhupada. You don't see this power anywhere else, you see? This power is uniquely invested in His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. By His potency, all the evil on the face of this planet can be wiped out and replaced with the love of God. That is the potency of Srila Prabhupada. You don't see this anywhere else. These other gurus, it's all right. Namaste, Namaskar, Hare Krishna. That's all right. But where is that guru who has the power to completely drive the evil off of this planet and bring in the golden ear of Chaitanya? That guru only is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada and his followers, because they have been empowered by Srila Prabhupada to do this. His disciples, his grand disciples, any member of this movement who takes up with full enthusiasm, determination, and patience this mission of Srila Prabhupada, they become empowered to be used as instruments by Srila Prabhupada for bringing an end to the evil on this planet. So we should never think that Prabhupada is another one of the Gaudiya sannyasis. He's Jagad Guru, truly Jagad Guru, the spiritual master of the universe. By his influence, the entire world will gradually take up Krishna consciousness. As predicted, we quoted the other day when we were here, that nice verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Satsjanna durjanna pangu jada antaghana jagatera. What is that? Prema vanyaya dubaila jagatera jana. You see? This Krishna consciousness movement is a gigantic tidal wave, and it will inundate the entire world with love of God, drowning everyone in that Krishna prema. Whether they are pious, whether they are rogues, whether they are invalid, whether they are lame, whether they are blind, it doesn't matter. The great power of the Srila Prabhupada's movement will inundate the entire world. So, we are very happy to have had this opportunity. This has been our entry point into Germany, this wonderful Berlin ISKCON Center, and now it's our departure point as well. We flew into Berlin, and now we're flying out of Germany tomorrow from Berlin. And we will carry the very sweet, sweet memories of the wonderful association we've had here with so many great sadhus. Yes, you are also sadhus. You are sadhus because you are giving your life for Srila Prabhupada. That means you are sadhus. So, we can ask now if there's some questions. Okay.
We had recently the discussion what is the origin of bhakti, and it's described also in Madhuya Kadambini that
the origin
of bhakti, because you
bhakti?
Said
bhakti.
Yeah. Origin of bhakti, what is the origin of bhakti,
like the original bhakti.
Krishna says he's equal to everyone, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discussed this and says we see that like the cloud usually showers the rain everywhere.
Yes, yes.
But we see some get the mercy and some not. And then
everyone gets, but some people put up umbrella, that's all.
What?
Some people put up an umbrella, that's all. The mercy is falling on everyone, but some people put an umbrella also.
Yeah. And he says he gives the mercy to his devotee, the Madhyam Adhikari, who distinguishes between the envious, the innocent, like this. And then he says, and then the devotee engages the soul, the other souls, in agyata sukriti. So, but we asked ourselves, what is the origin of agyata sukriti? For example, if I, being a book distributor, Krishna is guiding me, and also the soul who getting the book.
Yes, yes.
So some get the book, and some they never meet the devotee. So they have to be...
Yes.
But it's before agyata sukriti.
Actually, this question was raised by my godbrother in London on a morning walk with Prabhupada. Similar to what you're driving at, I think. Prabhupada is saying it's by mercy that someone becomes Krishna conscious. So he wants to know, what is the means by good fortune, yes. You heard that?
Yes.
So, Prabhupada said, he was wondering, what is that mechanism for good fortune? Is it just like rolling some dice? And, how does someone... Prabhupada said, we are their good fortune. So actually, that is the book distributor, when he chooses which person to go to, that can be the difference between millions of lifetimes more or going back to Godhead in this lifetime, just by the mercy of the book distributor, who he chooses to bless. You have the power who you want to bless with these books. You see, that is your mercy. Actually, it is Krishna's mercy coming through you, but it is considered your mercy because you're delivering the mercy. So who do you choose to bless with this book? This person here or that one? It can make them or break them in terms of their perfection. So who will you bless? You will bless as many as you possibly can. So actually it is up to the mercy of the preacher. Brahmanda Brahmite Konda Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. After wandering through 8,400,000 species up and down the Brahmanda, all the way to Brahmaloka, Patalaloka, you know, demigod, Indra, Indragopa, everywhere, going here, going there. That Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, that one very fortunate Jiva, what made him fortunate? He got the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you see. Who did the devotee choose to bless? He had the books, he has his books, who will I approach? You see. Who you choose to approach? Of course, on their side also, if someone is very sincere, wanting to know what is the absolute truth, then Krishna will inspire you that you must approach this person. That is also there. But even with no qualification, if you decide simply to approach Jagai Madai, you see, then they get the mercy. But the person, if they have the power to attract the Guru's mercy by their sincere desire to know also. So it can work both ways. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, more or less.
More or less.
Yeah. Because it's difficult to understand. If I am the one who chooses, then also Krishna has to guide me.
Well, Krishna is in your heart. Your Guru is there, inspiring you and using you as an instrument. Krishna is there, inspiring you and using you as an instrument also. Lord Chaitanya is using the book distributor as an instrument of his mercy also. That's also the... Yeah. Like Prabhupada said, I am just a puppet, you make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. But even your own decision to approach someone that inspired by Krishna, you decide, I would like to go to this town and distribute books today. You see, you made that decision, but actually Krishna inspired you to make that decision. Ultimately, we don't take any credit. Krishna gives us the credit, but we don't take it. It's a fact that the Vaishnavas will give us the credit, oh Prabhu, you distributed so many books today, you see, but the fixed up book distributor, he never takes the credit. Everyone else will give him the credit, but he won't take it. He knows if I take it, then my score will go down. My score will go way down if I start taking credit, thinking, yes, I distributed so many books, I am great. Prabhupada's the epitome of book distributors, and he said, because through us, he's distributing all the books, actually. Prabhupada's doing all the book distribution, using us as his instruments. But he said that... I cannot take any credit for all these wonderful things that have happened by this Krishna consciousness movement. The only credit I can take is that I have always been obedient to the order of my spiritual master. You see, that credit we can take. I don't add or subtract anything from my guru's instructions. I simply follow his teaching, his instruction. In this way, that is the only thing we can take credit for, that I obeyed my spiritual master. That's our credit. We can take that much credit. By obeying his order, then we become his instrument. And through us, he can accomplish things, wonderful things for spreading this movement and blessing so many souls. Any other questions? Mm-hmm. Yes?
You said that for us is also no... loss, since we didn't see Prabhupada physically, we didn't meet him physically, right?
The what is not loss?
Because we didn't see Prabhupada physically.
Yeah, there's no loss.
Yeah.
Because actually you can get the same mercy as the disciples who were with him in the early days, because Prabhupada is fully just as available to you as he has been to anyone in the history of this movement.
Yeah. But still we can say at the same time, and you are an example, that those who were with Prabhupada, they had such enthusiasm to preach, and they dedicated the whole life, and now it's not the same mood, and the many Swamis, they said that.
Well, you have to find those persons who have that mood, and you have to squeeze it out of them and capture it for yourself. I mean, I'll give you a little insider secret how I have this mood of enthusiasm. It's very simple for me. It's so simple. It's Actually, I joined in Austin, and you know, Vishnu John Maharaj was very kind to me. I didn't think I was doing very nice service. I wasn't really surrendered. I was pretty grouchy and, you know, brahmachari in the temple. I wasn't the most surrendered brahmachari there in the world. But he wrote Prabhupada that this boy, Bhakta Steve, he is doing very nice service. I couldn't imagine how he could tell Prabhupada I was doing nice service, because I felt my service was pretty bad, really. It wasn't very good. But he recommended me that this boy, Steve, is doing very nice service. And then Prabhupada said, yes, I will accept him as my disciple. But then Prabhupada wasn't there. He was in London. So he sent me my initiation, you know, my beads by mail. And my initiation letter came by post from London. But this gave me a very special opportunity, because now I collected some Guru Dakshina at the Yajna. But now I had a chance to write Prabhupada a letter, have a personal letter, you know, because he wasn't there to hand it to him. I had to write a letter, you know, sign it, put the checks in it, seal it, and address it off to, you know, the London temple. That was a fantastic opportunity. I don't remember what I said in the letter, but being with Vishnu John and seeing his enthusiasm for pushing forward this movement, I'm sure that I said something like, Srila Prabhupada, I would like to dedicate my life for pushing forward this movement. Because the way he answered it, I must have said something like that. What he answered me was this, and it was really amazing. He's for me, very special mercy. He said, I can see that you are a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, very eager for pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now just continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So those words have reverberated in my heart for 35 years. Just continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. And I see that the more I become enthusiastic, the more I feel the blessings. Enthusiastic kirtan, enthusiastic classes, enthusiastic association with the devotees, enthusiastic traveling all over the world for preaching, and etc., etc. The more I can be enthusiastically honoring prasadam, enthusiastically studying, enthusiastically memorizing verses, enthusiastically distributing books, I can see that the more I'm enthusiastic, the more I feel the blessings of Krishna, and the more I feel the blessings of Prabhupada. This process works if you work the process. Prabhupada very clearly described to me how this process works. All I have to do is plug into the instructions and do it, and then, wow, the result is there. The result is there more than I could even dream it could be there. There's more nectar out there to be tasted than you can even begin to conceive of in your wildest dreams. If you take up this spirit of preaching and pushing for this movement, there's more. You will taste so much nectar, you will just be going, wow. I knew Krishna consciousness was great, but I could never dream it could be this great. You see? That's what's awaiting you. If you are enthusiastic. So, you've got nothing to lose except for misery. So what do you want? You want to be miserable? Or do you want to taste unlimited nectar, a thrill at every minute? What did Arjuna say? I'm feeling a thrill at every minute just hearing this Bhagavad Gita. I'm experiencing a thrill at every minute. You see? Do you realize that you can actually achieve the bhava stage? It's not just something written in a book. You can actually achieve the bhava stage. It is, if you keep preaching and doing your sadhana, you can actually achieve the bhava stage where you'll have volcanic eruptions of love of God within your heart. Like a sleeping volcano, all of a sudden will start erupting. That's real. It's waiting for us. You see, it's waiting for you. So don't let anybody cheat you by saying that ISKCON is dead. they are dead, not ISKCON. Anyone who says ISKCON is dead or isn't what it used to be, they're out of it. There was a t-shirt I saw at the Ratha Yatra that says, ISKCON is getting better all the time. It's a fact. And those who aren't experiencing it, they are in a different movement. They're in a movement called MISKCON. They may be walking around and going, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol. But they're missing it. That's one of my pet peeves, by the way. You know, what's the name of this movement? Hare Krishna movement. But when I go to festivals, you know what everybody says? Haribol, Haribol. What did if you've heard the Prabhupada tapes, what does Prabhupada say when he greets someone? Anybody knows what Prabhupada said when he would greet someone? What does Prabhupada say? Hare Krishna. I noted that Prabhupada was the only one in ISKCON who was saying Hare Krishna. Everybody else says Hare Bol. I was thinking, why don't we just try doing things the way Prabhupada did it? I don't know who introduced Hare Bol as the way of greeting each other, but it's like a standard thing. Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. Why not try Hare Krishna? I mean, I went to one festival. I went to Vrindavan, you know. I was seeing all of it. Everybody said, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. I was going, is somebody going to say Hare Krishna? Is this the Hare Bol movement or is this the Hare Krishna movement? I'm not saying it's wrong to say Hare Bol. We have to ban Hare Bol. I'm not proposing that, but I'm saying, why don't we put more Hare Krishna into the Hare Krishna movement? That's all I'm saying. It's not wrong. No, Prabhu, it's Maya to say, Sankarshan Prabhu said it's Maya to say Hare Bol. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, why don't we try saying Hare Krishna to each other like Prabhupada used to say Hare Krishna to people. You hear the conversation, hear the tapes, you hear Prabhupada say Hare Krishna. I can't remember Prabhupada ever saying Hare Bol to someone. I mean, it's okay, but why don't we get more back into the mood of Prabhupada, the way he did things? That's the more you get back into the way Prabhupada spoke, the way Prabhupada thought, the way Prabhupada, everything, Prabhupada, 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 then there's more nectar there. There's more nectar there. And it's all there. You can see the videos, you can hear the tapes, you can read the conversation books, you know, you can read Prabhupada's books. You can find, actually, when Prabhupada was here, it's easier now. We didn't have the Veda base. We didn't have all these videos. In many ways, it's easier. Because you'd be at a temple and only the sannyasis and the temple presidents would be on the morning walk. You'd be just sitting there waiting. Well, we'd get back and hear what nectar happened on the walk. But now we have the MP3s. Every brahmachari and every devotee can have all the nectar right in a little, my little eye river here that holds everything. All of Prabhupada's lectures, conversations, music, everything, right here in this little box. It's incredible technology we have now. Utilize this technology to your advantage. To always stay fired up. Yes. So any other questions? Yes.
When you first came to Berlin, you mentioned that one instruction Prabhupada gave us to just follow any instruction your authority gives you.
Follow all the instructions?
Any instruction your authority gives to you.
Yes, Prabhupada told me that.
And
he said, do whatever the temple president says without questioning whether it's right or wrong. He told me that. That's right, he wrote me a letter from Paris. Specifically ordered, do whatever the temple president says without questioning whether right or wrong. Yeah, that's right. He wanted us to follow, work cooperatively with the local leader. That's right. That's right.
But he also said he wants independent thinking men.
Yes. The temple president tells you to offer eggs to Lord Jagannath. You can disobey his orders. That happened in New York. There was a sannyasi who got carried away. There was some lady who claimed to be the heiress to the Toyota fortune. that she was the daughter of the, you know, she would inherit the whole Toyota fortune, that she claimed that. She was a con artist, actually. But about the sannyasi temple president believed her and thought, well, if I marry this woman, then ISKCON, it's worth it even to give up sannyasi ashram, because then all ISKCON will have unlimited money. So he actually gave up sannyas and married the woman. And they treated her like she was a guru. They used to fan her and everything. I mean, she was a big celebrity. They used to be sitting in the class, they'd be fanning her in the class. It was really weird. She'd have a personal servant that would travel with her, and it was really handsome. Turned out she was just a con artist. But she, at one point, she was having them devotees offer eggs to the deities in New York, Radha Govinda. And Prabhupada criticized the disciples, that why are you going along with this? So what there is a Prabhupada's, you have to understand everything within the context. The temple president is instructing you, obviously according to Prabhupada's instructions, which you should be reading the books. If he's following the books, then you must obey him completely. If he's deviating from the books, you have a right to challenge him. Bottom line. So you better know your books, temple president. You may be temple president someday too. He may go off and become a GBC or something. You never know. Everybody has to learn to become very fixed up, so you can take big responsibility in the future. Everyone should become a powerful leader by becoming a good follower. That's how you become a powerful leader. The more you become a good follower, you become a powerful leader automatically, because you're setting an ideal example. Any other questions? Yes.
It's a completely different topic.
Okay.
If somebody makes business, he has to buy something cheap, usually, and he thinks that he can sell it more expensive. That's usually the... So what is the difference between business and gambling, if you like, go to the stock market?
It's a matter of degree, that's all. Business is, in one sense, gambling. Actually, even getting a job and working for a company is gambling. Also, the company may go bankrupt. You may not get your first paycheck. Really, I mean, even working a job is a gamble. It's a matter of degree. It's like some of my students ask me, well, you know, can I invest in the stock market? I said, it's a matter of, you know, it's a matter of how extreme you, if you're doing this. Some people do what's called day trading, where they, which is really gambling. It's a matter of degree. It's really a matter of degree. If the risk is reasonable, that's called business. If the risk is unreasonable, it's called gambling. That's the difference. If you don't know where to draw the line, then you ask someone else who has more intelligence than you do. Even printing books to resell them, that's gambling in one sense. That's a business. Can we get the price? What happens if all of a sudden the euro is devalued or something? Like in Mexico, they devalued the peso and nobody couldn't sell books anymore. It was difficult to sell books. They were selling books like crazy, and all of a sudden they devalued the currency, and it was very difficult to sell even one book. So even printing books is business, a business risk. But Prabhupada wanted us to take that risk. And that's not gambling. It's a matter of degree. Anything else? Okay. You have some point? Nothing. Okay.
Just then I will ask him more what he asked. Then I will ask, what is the deviation of what we should consider deviation of authority?
Yes.
Because it can be just a small thing which is actually not deviation.
No. It has to be something major. Like offering eggs to the deities was the example I gave. Offering eggs to the deities. You know, having illicit sex, you know, obvious breaking of the four regulated principles. If it's, you know, well, I heard Prabhupada said this, you know, they were only allowed to have 7 chickpeas at breakfast, and, you know, that used to be the thing. Prabhupada said only 7 chickpeas at breakfast. You ever hear that one? Anyway, there were so many things that went around ISKCON in the old days. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. That the temple president authorized 8 chickpeas per brahmachari, so we're going to have a revolution. He's deviating from Prabhupada. I mean, not that kind of nonsense, you know. Yes.
Can I put in up to date example?
Okay.
There's one GBC, very nice guru, very dedicated, very good manager, and he has a policy in his zone that everybody, Grihastha also, have 100% of the profit from book distribution to the temple. Is a must. So, personally, I couldn't surrender to this. And I think also, Prabhupada said, book distribution is a very good business also for Grihasthas. So, but how can a Grihastha live if he has to give 100%?
He just asked the GBC. Okay, I'm giving 100% now. Now you have to maintain me. There's an example. As an example, during Bhakti Siddhanta's era, there was one householder who gave all of his money to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. The wife had to go beg from Guru Maharaj for money. So you just go begging, okay, I've given everything, now I need, you know, now I need this. My wife needs a sari, so you have to give me the money. Because the husband has a duty to give the wife sari and jewelry, according to Prabhupada's instructions. So I've given you everything. My dear GBC, now you have to. My wife needs a sari. You kindly give me the money. I will cooperate with you if you cooperate with me. Because you don't. I mean, you can always go somewhere else. You know, if somebody doesn't. Someone is unreasonable. If they really want you there, they'll facilitate you. You have to realize your own preaching is a bargaining chip. If you're doing valuable service, and they'll want to keep you so that you have some room for negotiation. Questions more?
I have a question.
Hmm.
What happens if an older devotee, how do you say older?
Senior
devotee, is giving you an instruction, and normally you should listen to this instruction.
Yes.
Alone because it's a senior devotee. But what happens if this devotee is like treating you or telling you this in a way which is not at all Vaishnava etiquette? Should we follow it anyway, or should
no? If someone is instructing you in a way which is improper, you should. This is a very to really answer the question. Accurately, I would be better to know exactly what happened. This is a general principle. We should always be respectful to devotees, older devotees especially. But if they're giving some misinstruction, then we should be respectful and just go about our business. I mean, you don't have to, if someone's instructing you in an improper way, you're not obliged to follow that, but at the same time, you don't want to be disrespectful.
So being respectful, but not.
You don't have to obey them. If someone is instructing you improperly, and they're your senior, you're not really in a position to correct them, that you're instructing me improperly, you should not do this. But you should be just respectfully hear what they have to say and then go about your business. You don't have to follow them. If they're instructing you improperly, why would you want to follow them?
I mean, the instruction was maybe good, but the way was not good.
The best thing would be to ask me, you know, one-on-one after class exactly what the situation is, because there's so many different nuances or subtleties that could be. It's very hard to answer that question in a general philosophical way. There's so many different varieties of circumstances. They could fall into what you're describing, that I really can't give a specific answer unless you give me specifically. We can meet after class. It's a very, very touchy thing that you're asking about. So I really have to know this, you know, the details to give a very solid answer. Any other questions? Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Berlin is cool ki jai.
Sagar Prabhu ki jai.